I'm excited today to have my friend and brother in the Lord, Ashley Stansfield, to come and preach today. And I have a couple little stories to tell about him being here. Now, when I was 2 years old, had no idea about anything except eating and sleeping and having my own way, this congregation, North Street Christian Church, had vision and gumption under the leadership of Pastor Quentin Gray to begin a second Christian church in Butler, PA. And that is the Oak Hills Christian Church, which is out by the community college. And at this time, I'd like to have all the folks from Oak Hills that are here today. I see at least one pew there. The folks from Oak Hills Christian Church, stand up, if you would. And let's give them a nice welcome this morning. And thanks for coming. But back in 1956, they held their first worship service in the home of Mr. and Mrs. Clayton Eisenberg. And the North Street Church, helping to start that, had Quentin Gray go to the South Butler Fire Hall. That's where they met. So, you know, meeting in temporary places isn't a new thing. That's an old thing. We think that's all new when a church starts. And for $10,000, this church bought a piece of property on the corner township line and old plank. And they built the fellowship hall. And then eventually the congregation out there built the church building and also a parsonage. And so Ashley is the pastor there now. And I think, well, I'm sure, in the nearly 40 years I've been here, this is the first time this mother church and a daughter church have had much fellowship at all. And it's because of the God connection we have. So I want to tell you the story. Greg Simpson from our church had some tools for sale, put them on the internet. And Ben McCurdy from Oak Hills Church responded to the ad to buy a tool. And the two of them began to chat about church. And Greg told Ben about the men's breakfast we have at North Street, and Ben began to come. And then Pam and Kurt heard through family that there's this preacher in England that has a heart for Butler, and he's coming to the Oak Hills Church. And sure enough, when he came, Ben brought him to the men's breakfast. And I can remember that day as I was speaking, Ashley was sitting off to my right a little bit and you know, checking me out, making sure I was, you know, saying the right thing and everything. But I mean, checking me out that way. Okay. And but we had this connection. It sort of reminded me of the time Barnabas from Thailand and I met in seminary. When we met each other, we knew we'd be friends. And that's the way this relationship has begun. And Ashley arrived in the U.S. last spring. And when he came to that men's breakfast, I said to him, you know, the church that I serve started the church where you serve. And he said something like this, you know, the country I'm from started the country you live in. And so I sort of set myself up that day. And as we grew, I liked him more and more, and I began to call him Shrek because he reminds me of Shrek. And when I called him Shrek, what did you say, Ash?
Steady on, donkey.
Yes, steady on, donkey. So I set myself up again, you know, and so we've developed this friendship. And since, we've eaten at the Chinese buffet just way too many times. But that's where we compare notes and encourage one another in the faith. And he'll be preaching from Luke chapter 18 today, so you can get ready for that. And as he comes, I want you to watch this short video where he'll actually introduce himself. This is one of the reasons I like this guy.
Hi, my name's Reverend Ashley Stansfield. I'm the pastor here at Oak Hills Christian Church. A big welcome to all, whether you've been here a long time or whether it's your first visit here. We're all about preaching the gospel. We're all called to be witnesses around the globe, wherever the Lord sends us. I've come all the way from England. We might be called to Zambia. We might be called to Puerto Rico. We might be called to Brazil. We might be called to Butler. But wherever we go, we're all called to be witnesses, to tell the good news to everyone, that they might believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that they might find life in all its fullness. How are you doing? Good to see you. Do these guys smell down here? Smell. This guy smells great. No? Great hairdo. Really great. Yeah. The good-looking ones. Hey, but I noticed there's some empty seats. Why are the seats empty? What are you eating? Nervous laughter. Are they good? Yeah, you can get your hands off them, Pastor. Why are the seats empty? Does anybody know? Why is this seat empty here? Nervous laughter. Why is that seat empty?
Need to be filled, that's the problem.
That's the problem? That is the solution. Do you like that? Now, that's darned good theology. That seat needs to be filled. Filled with what? Cookies?
People, people, people.
You're going to make a preacher, you are. And what about these seats? Hello? Nice to meet you. Good to see you. How are you doing? This time they're thinking old people from England are a little crazy. You know? They might be right. Empty seats in church. Of course, lots of people have just left, as Bob announced that I was about to speak. I came from the toilet, I came through the doors, and everybody was leaving. Is that what you said to them? Shrek's just come up from his swamp, and they all went. What do you think? So, why are we here today? You got your notepad out, haven't you? Kathleen, will you take notes from the pastor, because I really want to go through all the doctrinal issues afterwards. Why are we here? Why have you come to church today? Isn't that kind? Pardon? Who? So, the seats are empty because
they need to be filled.
They need to be filled. To give thanks. Any other reasons? To pray. To thank. Who are we thanking, by the way? Who's God? Did someone say Jesus over here? Because people can say God's God and God's not God unless. Say it louder.
Jesus.
Pardon?
Jesus.
Can we all say that together after three? One, two, three.
Jesus.
Isn't that wonderful? Because in some churches, who's Jesus? Exactly. You hold on tight to those, all right? Who's Jesus? Because in some churches he's not clearly revered as God.
Well, we've come to give him thanks. We've come to give him praise. We've been doing it. Hopefully, during the preaching of the word, we're going to give Jesus praise. But sometimes Jesus has become a little bit of a namby-pamby. Does that translate? Namby-pamby. You know, the kind of guy who used to walk around in a dress with candy floss and bless little children and sing to the ducks and catch fish and bless you. Bless you all. That's the image some people have of Jesus. And do you know why? Every time I look at you, I think I'm looking in the mirror. Wow. Because somehow the church has given them that impression that Jesus is a little bit gentle, Jesus, meek and mild. It'll be on the card soon that we give out at Christmas. But what they don't understand is what really that means. Because I know Jesus. I want people to meet the real Jesus. Mild. Did you see him when he went into the temple courts? And he went crazy because he wanted everyone to be able to come and pray to his Father, even the Gentiles. And what were they doing? Selling candy. Or their version of it. At extortionate prices. And there were that many tables and trestles that no one could get in there to pray. And they didn't care. Because they were worshipping God their way. So do you know what he did? He went in there and he said, guys, got a little bit of a problem here. Can you just put your little trestle tables away, please? Just put them all away. Please. Guys, can you hear me? Is that what he did?
Nope.
He went in there like a bull in a china shop, we call it in England. Oh, now, have you ever seen a bull in a china shop?
Oh, my. It's wild.
You've seen it. A bull in a china shop. A bull goes into a china shop, and what does it do?
It tears it
to pieces. Have you ever owned a china shop? Have you ever been in a china shop? And you got your handbag on your thing, you walk into a china shop, ladies, and your husband says, sweetheart, just be careful. Just be careful where you're putting that handbag. And you just maybe catch one and you see a sign. All breakages must be paid for. No. And China's expensive. So a bull in the china shop, and he smashed it up. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. The real Jesus was so angry at the people that God had chosen to bring salvation to them, had said, can I say this? It's an alternative to saying the word swamp. Bog off. Do you say that here? Bog. In England we say bog off. You don't like somebody? Oi, bog off, will you? Doesn't translate. Does it? Bog off. Bog, B-O-G, bog off. Get out of here! They didn't care. Jesus cared, because he wanted to see even the Gentiles come to know God. And so what did he do? Don't advocate you following everything it says in Scripture. But over went the tables, out came the whip, and everything was pandemonium when Jesus got to work. And the disciples would be stood there. Wow! Wow! No one would have dared do it. But he was so filled with the zeal of his Father in heaven because he wanted to see people come to Christ. Boy, was Jesus passionate Was he? And sometimes we come into church and you have a limp handshake. I'm really passionate about Jesus. Really welcome to Jesus, everybody. People can see when you're passionate about something. Are you passionate about anything here? You're passionate about railways, or you're passionate about eating cookies? Are you passionate about the Fortune Star Chinese place? I think I'm going there for lunch. Mm-hmm. Are you passionate about anything? People tell when you're passionate about Jesus. People tell when you're passionate about them. People can tell when you love them. People can tell when you don't. And if you're filled with the love that Jesus had by the power of the Spirit, you see people differently. In the street, there are people out there in the street who are so sad at the way they've been treated, so lost, so deserted. And Jesus is saying, it ain't the way it should be. I'm going to smash those tables out of the way. Do you know what? He was the toughest man that ever lived. Me and you look tough, don't we, buddy? We'd make a good team, me and you, wouldn't we? We could be the bouncers at North Street, couldn't we? You know? Me and you, one on the right, one on the left. Be like James and John. Because they wanted to be on the left and the right, didn't they? They even sent their mum, where are you going to have a word with Jesus? Jesus, can my sons be on your left and your right? Really? They just wanted to elevate themselves. They saw something different about Jesus than they did about the religious leaders, about the Pharisees. They saw something so special about Jesus. They saw something so dynamic about Jesus. They saw something so powerful about Jesus. So graceful, so kind, so loving. He spent time with sinners. He was the friend of sinners! Anybody here a sinner? I'll get to my Bible passage in a minute, Pastor. Anyone here a sinner? Put your hand up if you're not. Greg, did you put your hand up? No. His wife said he hasn't got to give me any jip during the service, but he said, she didn't say I couldn't give you jip. What was I saying, Greg? No, well, there you go. What was I saying? Jesus. I was talking about Jesus. Sinners! About sinner. Anybody here a sinner? I don't know why I'm stood in front of you. You don't look much of a sinner to me. Shall I talk to your wife? It's about being real, isn't it? We're all sinners. We've all messed up. And I'll tell you what, you'll all mess up again. Even as Christians. Oh, no, not me, Pastor. No, not me. I'm righteous. Are you? Shake hands with me on the way out if you think you're righteous, and I'll just squeeze it a little bit too tight and see how your face appears towards me. And the words that come out of your mouth. You tell by the things that come out of people's mouths if they really belong to Jesus. You tell by the way people behave on the whole. Oh, it's not the one with the sweets. That's all right. You can tell. Do you smell? We asked at the beginning, does any of you smell in here? It's that hot in here. Someone brought me perfume halfway through just so I could freshen up. Now I smell a little. Now I smell. Do you smell? Do you smell of the aroma of Jesus because you've been with him? Remember when you were young and you were courting? I'm looking at you again. Sorry. And you kissed your lovely for the first time. And you impressed them. And it was so nice. Just a kiss. But you went home smelling their perfume. she kissed me, or he kissed me. That's if you're a girl, a boy, boy or a girl. It's getting a little strange. And you smelled of them for a few minutes. In fact, you didn't want to even wash the shirt that you had on. Oh, it still smells. When we've rubbed with Jesus, when we've been with Jesus, we smell of the aroma of Jesus and other people. Are you picking me up? I was told off for whispering earlier on. By the way, you're a better looking group than the earlier crowd. You mustn't tell them that. Smell of the aroma of Jesus because you've been with Jesus. And your whole essence, you want to give it off to other people who need to smell of Jesus. There are people outside in this town who are battered and bruised. They don't look very pretty. Some of them look like the ugly duckling. Have you heard the story of the ugly duckling? There once was an ugly duckling. Have you heard that song? With feathers all tatty and brown. You've not heard that one? You've got to go online and look up the Ugly Duckling song. And one day the ugly duckling became a swan. And in England, swans are protected, nice pictures, by the crown. You kill a swan, you're in big trouble. An ugly duckling became a bit like me and you. They became beautiful. Steady on, donkey. That's what Jesus does with people. He gets hold of them. He changes them. He scrubs them up. Bit by bit. Year by year. Till they look and start to smell more like Jesus. He's done it with you. He's doing it with you. And he's going to do it with other people who are going to come through your door. In fact, he'll start scrubbing them up and making them more like Jesus before they come in here. Because a lot of them won't come in here because they don't think they are good enough. I wonder who gave them that impression. Pastor Bob? Did you hear him ever say to anybody who came through the door, "Oi, you dirty, filthy sinner. What are you doing in my church? I can smell the stuff on you now. Come on. Get out of here, you hellbound sinner." Have you ever heard him saying that? That's why I like his theology. Anybody who comes through the door, the vast majority, have come through the door for a reason. Because they want to know something more about life. Everybody is searching. You take no notice of the hard exterior. People put hard exteriors on because life has given them a battering, so they have an exterior. And Jesus is in the business of peeling the onion shell from around them. So there's no smell of onions left. Praise God. Back to the word, brother. Where were we? I'm going to start at Luke 18, verse 9. To some who are confident of their own righteousness. Are you confident of your own righteousness? What does that mean? What a holy woman. You don't get much better, do you? And why can she make great food? Because I've just been for my first Thanksgiving at her house. Wonderful food. What a righteous woman. Tell you this though. She ain't confident of it because she acts humbly before God. Even Mary. Really? Me? Mary, the mother of Jesus? Really? Me? And yet there were some people who would stand up in the synagogues or in the temples week by week with their chest puffed out, because they wanted people to think they were so good, so religious, so a temple and powerhouse of the church. And do you know what Jesus called them? Whitewashed tombs. All nice and white on the outside, but inside, what's inside a tomb? Does it smell nice inside a tomb? It smells pretty stinky. When my turkey went off, which would be very seldom, there's a bad smell. When something's decaying, it's a bad smell. Some were confident of their own righteousness, and they looked down on everyone else, and they barred anyone who'd done anything ever wrong from coming to Jesus. And Jesus could not abide it. Because we've all done something wrong, haven't we? And we all, some of us keep on doing things wrong, don't we? So we would never get into the church then, would we? So it's like, let's leave now. That's the way it was. And so people would secretly. And I don't know if you've had this feeling, but I've sinned once, I might as well sin a dozen times. So people just kind of live a life. But Jesus was constantly pointed at by these people as being the friend of sinners. He was the friend. Look at him. Look at Bob Huber. He's down the blooming pub. He's had 2 pints at least. Why? How do you know? Because I were there in the corner. But who's he with now? Oh no. Jesus mixed with prostitutes. He went alone with women where he shouldn't have been. Not that he ever sinned in it. He was in situations he shouldn't have been in because he longed to see people come to know Jesus. And the righteous people, the people who thought they were religious, the people who thought they were the pillar of the church, got in the way. 2 men went into the temple to pray. He told this parable. One a Pharisee, a religious leader, the other a tax collector. No one likes a tax collector, do they? Any tax collectors here? They've got to do a job. But the tax collectors here did their job and a bit more on the side. In fact, a lot more on the side. In fact, people were so sick to the back teeth of the money the tax collectors took off them, they were despised. And they were also collecting money for the enemy. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. Wasn't he religious? Telling about all the good things that he did. And this tax collector came in the back door. Can you see him? Have a look. Can you see him? Guys, if you're going to see him, you have to turn your necks that way. Can you see him? I'm not pointing at you, Kurt. And he stood at the back. And he looked to the front. And he got down on his knees. And he beat his breast. I'm not worthy to even be in this place. Oh God, forgive me, a sinner. And he broke his heart. Have you ever seen people come into church and break their heart because they feel so dirty and filthy before a holy God? And sometimes because other people in the church have made them feel that way. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast. He said, God, have mercy on me. And the correct translation is the sinner. I am the sinner. Paul called himself the chief of sinners, and yet he was a greater evangelist than Billy Graham. Did you know that? The chief of sinners. There's something about having a humble heart In our walk with God, I tell you that this man, Jesus said, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel like a toad. As me and Bob were saying one day, driving along like a road-licking toad. Anyone ever licked the road? Anyone got out their vehicle or walking along one day and thought, I'll just lick the road. And you get down on your knees. And you lick the road. Anyone ever done it? Don't do it. It don't taste good. And you get bits of stone in your mouth. And, you know, bits of road hog. A groundhog. I don't want to make you feel like you're licking the road. Because Jesus, by the cross, has declared you guys free when we come to him. No longer a toad licking the road. And you guys at the back, even Greg, took a lot of saving, didn't it? You guys, no longer toads licking the road, because Jesus paid the toad licking the road price. He became the toad licking the road, even though he wasn't, that me and you might be completely free. Do you get that? Free. You don't get many things in America for free, do you? Free. God's gift. Free. He paid it. The pastor's talked about it week by week. The cross of Jesus has set us free. Free from this and this way of life to this, that we live for him entirely. I'll tell you this. If you don't think much of that, talk to your pastor. Because you think, oh, so what? I'll tell you this now. You either ain't saved, you ain't come into relationship with Jesus, or there's something wrong with your walk with God. If you couldn't care less. I said to the guys this morning, I did a baptism service before I joined my last church. And it was a girl called Michelle. And the church was full. There were some leaders sat here. And I just got up to the front of the baptism service. And I said, morning, everybody. Welcome to Michelle's funeral. And the lady sat just there. Well, like she had a wasp in her mouth. But what I was emphasizing is that when she went into that water, Michelle was going to say, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I have died to being me and the way I live life. Have we died to the old us, and are we living fully for Christ in every moment of every day? I haven't time for that, Pastor. Yeah, you are. That every moment's about living for Jesus. We sing the song at the front of the church ever so eloquently. I surrender all. I surrender all. Or is it more like, I surrender 50%. I surrender just a little bit. I'll just give you a little bit, Jesus. What a disgrace that we don't give Jesus our everything. If we truly belong to him. Just have a little look around at everybody here. Even those who smell. Even those that aren't here. Just have a look around. Again, you've got to bend your necks. I'll help you guys. Look over here, guys. Look at all these wonderful, beautiful people. Does everybody know Jesus here? Does everybody have a relationship with Jesus? Amen. Do you? Don't be too excited about it, will you? Does anybody have a relationship with Jesus here?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? Got one here? You? Thank you. Anybody else? Any more offers? Got 10 so far? Any more? Smiley faces? Any more? Yeah, some waves. Wave. Even wave. You can wave. You can stand up. Whew, thank goodness for that. Get used to it, because you're going to spend eternity with these guys. Can you imagine me and you looking at one another for eternity? Amen. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when I'm perfect in every way. I can't bear to look in the mirror because I get better looking each day. Jesus has saved you for a reason. Do you know what it is? How many people have we got here today? 150? In here? Who's good at maths? Empty chairs. If we all went away and we prayed and we became the aroma of Jesus and we smelt like Jesus because we spent time with Jesus, because we prayed for one other person each, we loved them, we had them round for pumpkin pie, we took them to the Star Fortune for a Chinese every now and again, we really cared for them, we prayed for them 365 days of the year, we made sure we knew when their birthday was, we made sure we knew when they were feeling down, and they'd say to you, what is it about you? And we didn't Bible bash them and tell them they were sinners, because they know they're sinners, they don't need telling. Let Bob the preacher do that. And we won them for Christ in 1 year. If there was 150 people here, in 1 year from now, how many people would be sat here? Does anybody know? 150. And we all win one more. We've got 300. So if you had 150 sweets in a bag, and someone gave you another 150 sweets in a bag, how many sweets would you have altogether? None, because I'd have them all. 300 in 1 year. And I'll be saying, why is there no empty seats here? Because they're all filled with people that would... A theologian and a mathematician. So the next year, everybody decides, hey, we're going to do that again. And the people who've come are so hot for Jesus and on fire because you've loved them like crazy. So the whole lot of you, we weren't called to make Christians, we were called to make disciples. Everybody prayed again. 300 people on their knees praying and loving and caring and pumpkin pieing and Pizza Fortune and all the rest of it. How many would we have at the end of the next year? 300 plus 300 is... Now, someone at this point in the first service shouted, new church building! Let's take it a step further. Everybody did the same again the next year. 600 and 600 equals 1,200. Hey, that Pastor Bob's doing something, right? You know, his church... She's grown in the last 3 years to over 1,000. He's putting up those blue pancake signs in town now. Everybody's coming for free pancakes. Wow. What's going on? And all of a sudden other people are coming to see what's so good about that church. And they feel so welcomed and so loved. And they're changed. And they become disciples in themselves. They feel loved. They feel cared for. You ever thought of walking past someone one day and maybe just, you can't just give money out willy-nilly, but just kind of think, put a $10 in someone's hand. Make sure they're not going to go and spend it on alcohol. Let them go away thinking, what are they doing that for? Why do they do that? Something slightly extreme. What ways, Lord, I've woke up this morning, what ways can I show people your love? And love's action. It's not just saying, I love you. I do love you. Who are you? And that's it. It's free. And we've come to Christ for free. It wasn't cheap. And Christ has called every single one of us. There are people out here. And Jesus knows who belong to him. Jesus knows when someone's truly, really searching, like the tax collector. Jesus knows when people really want to know him. And you know what? They're out there. Why doesn't he just do it himself? Why does he use us? Why does he need to use us? I'm going to mess it up. So why does he want to use any of you guys? Why? Or you guys, why? I mean, why does he even want us to pray? Thank you, Lord. Two people said relationship. He loves you so much that he wants to do it with you. He created us for a relationship that will last forever and ever. And the closer we get, the more we smell of Jesus and the more people be drawn to Jesus. D.L. Moody, one of your famous evangelists from the back end of the 1800s, early 1900s, the Chicago Moody Institute, he was on fire for Jesus. He had a 100 prayer list that he would pray regularly. Of people who did not know Jesus. I'm challenging you this morning. Have a 10 prayer list. Start with a 10. And the 100 he prayed for over years. At his funeral, 96 of them had come to Jesus. Isn't that something? Mathematicians, that's 96%. If you got that in your test at college, you say, wow. The other 4% came to Christ at Moody's funeral. God hears our prayers. He wants to work with us in relationship. So over the last few weeks, you've said, I will obey his word. I will live by his grace. I will answer his call. And at the end, we have a problem with this word in England. It's a very long word and a very hard word to bend your head around. Are you ready for it? Go. Anyone know how to spell it? Geo. And yet we don't know the G. Is it a problem? Is it the O? That's a problem. And somehow we seem to be fixed in not going. And Jesus has called us, go into all the world. Start here in Butler, he said. Well, not quite. In Jerusalem. But this is your Jerusalem. This is Jerusalem. Butler. And then go wherever the Lord tells you to go. I'm telling you now, if you're serious about Jesus and you pray for people every day, give yourself this test. 10 people over 6 weeks. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to care for them. I'm going to look out for them. I don't care how busy I am. I'm going to make this. People have got time for what they want to spend time doing. I'm not going to pick on you again. Well, not yet, anyway. When you were courting to start with, do you remember? Do you use the word courting? When you were dating, did you ever say, yeah, I'm sorry, love, I just haven't got time tonight. I've got this to do and that to do. I've got to wash my hair. I've got to do my nails. I haven't time to meet with you. Or when she rang, or when he rang, did you just think, I'll be there in 10 minutes? We've got time for what we want to spend time on. No excuses. Jesus has called us to be the fragrance of him wherever we are, and you watch what God will do with you. Some people don't think they're good enough in church. Some people don't think, well, I've not got the gift of evangelism, Pastor. Well, that's good. But you're a witness, and you'll be surprised. How do you know if someone's got the gift of healing? Well, let's just get a nice little book on it and we'll work out and we'll do a little test on it. How do you know if someone's got the gift of healing? Because God does heal today. They lay hands on somebody and they drop dead? No. They're healed. Like that dog that came up to me in Moraine Park. He just walked up to me and I said, "Heal." How do we know whether we've got the gift of being a witness? That people actually are interested in Jesus. They want to know. You take them on a course. You bring them to church. You introduce them into something midweek. People are searching out there for something. And I'm going to shut up in a minute because there's too many words here. Too many. You'll have to invite me again sometime, Bob. I'll invite you to my place, shall I? We'll take a risk. So Jesus has called us to obey his word, to live by his grace, to answer his call, and he's called us to. I knew there was a problem with that word go. He's called us to. Pardon? He's called us to. Pardon? Say what, after three. One, two, three. God is good all the time. All the time. Guys, if we are not fervent, if we're not excited about Jesus, if we're nearly half asleep, if we don't really care, who's going to care? Because God has chosen every single one of us here to be his fragrance, to go, to make a difference wherever we go. Amen. I'm going to shut up now. Oh, thank you, Pastor. That's fantastic. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for every single person in this room. Your love for them, your kindness to them, the fact that you have drawn them to be the people that they're going to be for you. That they're being now, that they're going to be in the future, the people that they're going to win for Jesus, the empty pews they're going to see filled because they love Jesus. We pray for those people who do not yet know Jesus in our community, in our work, wherever we go, to the gym, to the coffee shop. Lord, we pray that you will make it easy because we're going to pray. We're going to pray that people come to know Jesus Christ. Not just to fill the pews, Lord, but that they have a relationship with you, that we can stand before you on that great and good day when you return. We stand before you and we say, "Thank you, Jesus, because he said to us, 'Well done, my true and faithful servant. Well done.'" And all God's people said, amen. Do you want that to be the case when you stand before Jesus? I don't want to be the man who say, "Well, I was a multimillionaire on earth. I've got all this money. I did really well with my life, Jesus." And Jesus says, "That's fine. Come on in. How many do you win for Jesus?" "I don't think I won any." "Oh, well, come in and play Monopoly with your money then. I want to be one of those people who's won a million souls. Or won 1,000 souls. Or won." And we stand before him and he's pleased. Every one of us has been called to be that witness. Amen. Thank you for having me.